It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's time to wake on up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Heels with a dribble, crossover right by Hero, up top Pajemski to Kaminga, above the break, three, got it! That Golden State in business for the first time all night. They're down by 8, 78-70 with 58 seconds to go in the third quarter.
Welcome back. It's the Morning Roast on a Friday. 2 more hours left with you here this week. It's Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Randy in for Joe Spadoni today, and we've got Warriors basketball once again off since Tuesday, Joe Shasky. They've had that loss in Miami to stew on for the last handful of days. Now they're in New Orleans getting set for a Pelicans team that is 20-53, and they're down essentially their entire starting lineup. This is a must-win game for the Golden State Warriors. This is as must-win as the 10th-to-last regular season game gets.
I mean, sure. The way you put it, yeah. But if this team sleepwalks through this game the way they did the Hawk game, the Denver game with a zillion guys out, the Miami Heat game, honestly, there's no excuse. Like, this team will lose the benefit of the doubt. If they sleepwalk through this game and they don't handle business, they will lose all credibility with everyone, including myself. And I think the fan base will not tolerate anything other than a victory. And I'm not saying you got to win by 40. That's just win the game. Just win the game
and
show me in the first 5 minutes that you care. Because the last couple of nights when they've played, it feels like you could tell early on they just weren't ready to go.
Early and get slow starts.
Awful.
It's been ridiculous. I can bring up this stat here. Give me just a sec. But the slow starts on the road specifically have been really bad of late. They've been, so I go back to the last road trip. Remember that was the Orlando, Philadelphia, Charlotte, Knicks, and Nets road trip. And then the first two games of this road trip. So the last seven road games, Joe Shasky, they've been outscored in the first half in six of those seven. by a net total of 59 points in the first half over seven games.
Wow.
And that includes when they beat Charlotte by 9 points in the first half.
That's incredible.
Outscored by Orlando by 14 in the first half, by 12 by the Sixers in Philadelphia, 8 against the Knicks, 5 against the Nets, and it was worse against the Nets. They were down 22 mm-hmm. in the first quarter against the Nets. At halftime in Atlanta, down 12. Halftime in Miami, down 17.
I mean,
and most of those are with Steph, by the way.
The Miami game, I kept saying to these guys in the group thread, we're lucky to not be down 25.
Oh, yeah.
Like they should have been down worse. They couldn't hit anything. They couldn't execute. They couldn't stop anything. And Bam Adebayo destroyed them. Who is going to be the random athletic big who is going to absolutely destroy them tonight?
Well, good thing Zion is out, because it would be Zion. Zion might go for 30 and 15 against this Warrior team right now.
30? I mean, try like 40. I mean, Bam is not a scorer, and he went for 28.
He's been amazing. But yeah, I mean, Cat hurt them.
Cat, OG, Okongwu.
Even Scotty Barnes.
Scotty Barnes killed them. I mean, this has been a theme. I mean, it's been consistent.
Aaron Gordon, 38 for Aaron Gordon.
And could have had more.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But like they cannot stop these guys. And so they got to come out and play hard. And I'm looking at two guys in particular. We could talk about Steph playing, not playing, whatever.
Questionable.
Okay, like, and I hear the argument of rest, and, you know, they're not playing anyone, so we can get out of it. I don't care who suits up tonight for both teams. Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green need to show up tonight. That's who needs to show up tonight. You know, Dre's looked sluggish, and I'll give him this. He's played in a lot of games. He hasn't missed a lot of time lately, and so he looked exhausted. But when YouTube put out a video of you guys basically like laughing at everybody, like looking down at them. Like that's how I viewed the domino video that they put out. It was like,
you think that was a big deal?
I just think it's a bad look when you don't show up back-to-back games on the road when your season's on the line. All those videos are cute and funny and hilarious when you're winning. When you literally show me that you don't care about playing and it looks like you want to run out of the arena, I don't find any of that stuff cute. Mm. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm saying it's a bad look. Is it not?
I'm just enjoying a couple of days off in Miami.
You can do that without posting it and making it look like you're on top of the world.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I do. I think all of these things, like it's, you know, I was having a talk with the boss about this. Like, I try not to be photographed with anyone like having a drink or a cocktail in their hand.
Yeah.
And the reason being is like people view things out of context. And they see things and they're like, oh, he's out partying. I don't even drink anymore. But you get where I'm going at with that. Like, it's the perception. It's how it's going to land. It's me knowing that I post that photo and then four or five, a month later, however many days, someone will look at that and assume what was going on within that photo. So when you post those videos, you make it seem like, oh, yeah, we're taking care of business. And then you post those videos of you playing dominoes and yucking it up. Yeah, that's funny. And it's, and then you don't show up. Like, then it looks like to me that Miami trip was a big joke when the season's on the line. And the fans, the perception is the fans care more than you. And that's a bad place to be.
Well, you are right that the season is on the line. The last two losses and paired with a Clippers win in New York the other day, the Clippers are now above you in the standings. They have the same exact record as you, 41-31, but they're now the sixth seed by virtue of the tiebreaker. They've won all three games that they've played against the Warriors this year. Warriors are only a half game ahead of the T-Wolves for the seven.
It's terrifying where they're at.
Warriors do have the tiebreaker on the T-Wolves, so if they finish with the same record, the Warriors will jump ahead of them. But still, it's not a good spot to be in right now, and it only gets worse, Shasky, because GP2, who's been playing really good basketball of late, is now out for an indefinite amount of time. And if I had to guess, he's not going to play again this regular season because he suffered a partially torn ligament in his thumb. And now the Warriors have to try to go through the rest of this regular season, and who knows, maybe in a play-in or a postseason series without Gary Payton II. It's rough.
The energy level of these guys will tell me how they want to play. Because I'm looking at it, and obviously when you don't have great shooting around you, you're not hitting shots, things are going to look lethargic. But was their energy good in the first half against the Hawks or the Miami Heat?
No.
In the Heat game in particular, it looked like, all right, third quarter, halftime, let's start to try to play some defense. By then, it was too late.
There was maybe an individual or two who showed, like, Guy Santos came in energetic in the second quarter, or in the first quarter.
Sure.
And Buddy Hield honestly did, too, in Miami.
Well, I think Buddy Hield's actually been trying really hard on defense. Shots aren't falling for him, but I have not seen that affect his activity level, contesting shots on defense. Quite frankly, Buddy Hield's a better defender than I thought. Just all year, he's been better. Is he great? No, but it's not for a lack of trying. I do think he really tries on defense. I'm talking about Jimmy and Draymond. It's just the sense that I get was they were going through the motions. That's what it looked like in the last couple of games. Well, and I don't think they can afford to do that.
What's upset me about the last couple of games, and this isn't, I don't think this is like some big statement on who they are as a basketball team. They're without Steph. It's going to look different. They're nowhere near as good without Steph, of course. But where I get a little frustrated, Shasky, is post-Atlanta, you have Draymond saying, we can't have games like this. They just came out and played harder. We got to be ready for games. We won't let this happen again. Okay, that's what you say post-Atlanta. And then the same exact thing happens in Miami. You just say, well, yeah, they played harder. Like, there's no room for the other team played harder. I don't care if you're 35. I don't care if you're 23. I don't care if you're in a playoff spot.
I'm totally with you.
You can't. There's no room for that excuse. You could just say they were making shots. We weren't making ours. It happens in this league sometimes. We can't keep losing games. Like, we know this is important. But if you say you're admitting that the other team is playing harder than you, and we can all see it on the court as well, there is absolutely zero room for that at this stage of the season.
Well, and it would be one thing if they had gone straight from Atlanta to Miami, and maybe they only got a night of rest or multiple nights of rest. They had like 5 days in Miami.
Yeah, they had 2 days off after Atlanta getting ready for the game, and then they had a couple of days off after
the Miami
game, too.
So there should be no excuses.
Especially tonight, but even in Miami.
But I'm talking about tonight, yes. But, like, the Miami, again, this is why you got to just be careful when you post videos like that. Things are going to land on someone's doorstep without the context. And it's going to be how people are going to perceive it. I'm just telling you the reality of how fans perceive things.
Yeah. No, I mean,
they better show up tonight, whether Steph plays or not. And I will know by their activity level on defense, deflections, offensive rebounding, boxing out, all of the little stuff. That's how I'm going to be able to tell if they're ready to go or not.
The 510 on our text line, and you can join the conversation, 888-957-9570. We will win, but Jimmy and Draymond ain't going to do too much, just saying.
Draymond's had a great, up until the recent road trip, he was great for like a month and a half offensively.
He was good. Aggressive.
I would argue it's the best offensive month he's had since like 2016. That's how good he's been.
The 415 also saying, some nights you got it, some nights you don't. You can't hit shots. You just can't hit a shot. You got to hit shots to win games. And that's part of it. That's a big reason why they've lost some games, but it goes so much deeper than just making or missing couple of games.
That's a cop-out to me because that doesn't take an accountability that they stopped playing defense early in games and have been... great example. First play of the second half against the Miami Heat. Draymond is guarding Bam Adebayo full court, and he thinks he gets an 8-second violation. You play through the whistle. Okay? It doesn't get called. You argue it at the break, at the next whistle, at the next dead ball, whatever it is. Draymond stops, turns, throws a tantrum. No one else is aware that Bam Adebayo is now flying down the lane. You don't stop the ball. Not one of the other four defenders comes over to stop ball. He gets a right down the middle layup dunk. Does he not? To me, that is focus, paying attention, playing through the whistle, energy. Stop whining and play ball. Like, it just is what it is. Like, that possession to me was so indicative of the mindset through the first two games of the road trip.
Why do you think the mindset has been that way? Why do you think the energy level, is it because they're old and they're tired and they're exhausted?
Well, no, I'll buy that for Dre. Dre's played a lot of games. Jimmy had months off. I don't want to hear it for Jimmy. And look, Moses Moody was playing his butt off in that game. I thought he tried hard. He didn't play well, but I thought he tried really hard.
0 for 9 from deep.
Podziemski didn't play well, but I thought he tried hard. I didn't think he played well at all.
Those are younger guys, so is just an age thing. I don't know.
I don't know, man. To me, it's an attention to detail. And I thought Bam just took it to them.
He did. Bam was great.
It to him. They had no answer for him.
Okay, so then the conversation shifts to, well, all right, if this is who the Warriors are, how can they get out of this little funk that they're in? And they have to do it without Gary Payton II, who tore a ligament in his left thumb and is out indefinitely. Steve Kerr, speaking before or after practice yesterday in New Orleans, had this to say about GP2's absence.
It opens up an opportunity for JK to be that defensive stopper, the guy who, you know, we've relied on Gary to be. JK's the obvious guy. Put him on the best offensive player. You know, pick up full, like harass people like Gary does. I'm going to ask JK to do that, and it definitely opens up more minutes for him if he's effective with that. And then again, it's mix and match game to game, depending on who's playing well and how we're playing.
Interesting from Steve Kerr. So
what part for you?
The whole thing. Steve Kerr saying without GP2, essentially, we're now going to be asking Jonathan Kuminga to fill the GP2 role, which is to be a point of attack defender against the opposing team's best like wing player.
Which he has done at times in the last couple years.
At times. I don't think he's ever really done it consistently.
No, they had Wiggins, and when Wiggins was out, though, and GP2 was injured last year, I thought he did a pretty good job of that, but continue.
And then, offensively, it's just fill in the dunker spot, and if you're open in the corner, take the three.
I've been waiting for them to utilize him in the offense that way for a while. Like, Carter, we literally had this conversation. Was it me and Evan? Was it Evan?
I think so.
Yeah. We were literally having this conversation. Like, the Warriors run various offenses, but one of them is like a motion 4x1, meaning four on the out, one on the in. And the one guy on the in goes anywhere from the corner to the dunker spot to up to the elbow and then back down to the other block into that dunker spot. And I've noticed that they put basically Looney, or they'll put GP2 in that spot. They did, for a little while, try Moses Moody there. That was the whole, hey, Moses is a four, when they had Quinn Post out there as the stretch five. This is what they should be doing with Jonathan Kuminga, given where they're at right now. Yes, I like this. I think this is great. I don't want JK out on the wing having to make decisions about getting downhill when there are other four other guys out on the wing. He's not a good top of the three-point shooter. Stop having him catch the ball there as the shot clock's winding down. I call them grenades, okay?
Oh, yeah.
End of the shot clock. Hey, kick it back out. You got to take this shot. There's too many of those for him in particular. Go make a play. We did this with Klay Thompson in the Lakers series. They basically turned Klay into a you will put the ball on the floor and make plays playmaker, and that's not his skill set. I want him catching and shooting and coming off screens and being decisive. I don't want him putting the ball on the floor and creating for himself or for others. I don't want Kuminga to do that either right now. I don't think that's playing into his skill set. I also don't like him back to the basket catching the ball at the block. Right? And just saying, hey, you're post this guy up. He doesn't have a post up move. He's better when he faces someone in that short corner, and he's better when he's facing up inside the key. He's not better with his back to the basket. Not currently.
So let me ask you this, because I agree with you. I think the way for Kuminga to be the most effective right now, or at least to fill a need that the Warriors need, it's what you're talking about. It is maybe a lesser offensive role, and it's not a creator. It is when someone else creates, you're the finisher. And Kuminga would be great at that.
Absolutely. Think about how many times, for example, you would see Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green, where Draymond catches it at the elbow. This is back in the day. Throwing up the lob to Iggy, who's cutting baseline.
Off a Steph double. Steph gets the ball to Draymond. You have a 4-on-3, and then tic-tac-toe dunk.
I call it the high-low, the tic-tac-toe. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. You never see that for Kuminga. You see it for GP2 a lot, and they did it for JaVale McGee at times because he would play in that dunker spot. The problem is that JK doesn't move really well without the ball. He needs to get better at that.
Let me ask you this. Is it, because I think there's a lot of different opinions out there. You have the people who say, all right, it's up to Steve and the coaching staff to put JK in that spot, in that position. or it's up to JK to accept that that's your role on this team, and it's you have both. To be willing to do that. Yes.
See, to me, it's both, right? Because like running some elements of high pick and roll with him and Jimmy, and he's the roller to the basket. That's just an easy fix to me. I'd like to see that. I think it opens things up for Jimmy as a playmaker, and it gets him on some advantageous switches, and then it allows Jonathan Kuminga to go downhill and put pressure on the rim. Mm. That's where he's at his best.
No doubt. Downhill,
don't dribble, catch, couple steps, dunk, right?
Yes.
That's when he's at his best. He's also really good finishing around the rim and creating contact and getting to the free throw line. So I'm trying to limit where he catches the ball right now. I got to get him going and feeling confident. And then yeah, we could expand some things. Do I want him in the read and react system on the outside exclusively and just as a decision maker? Not really. And when Steph's not on the floor, you know, it doesn't highlight the rest of the team's strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, I'm with you.
When you run just that. The analogy that I use is like, hey, look, Steph is kind of like Lamar Jackson. He's very, very unique. I wouldn't want Joe Flacco running Lamar Jackson's offense, right? It's just not a good use of him. You have to amend some things to be able to accentuate what Joe Flacco does well. I'm not saying I change everything for Jonathan Kuminga, but in these overlapping minutes when Steph's off the floor, run some stuff that gets some free looks, not just for Jonathan Kuminga, but for Jimmy, the guy making $60 million. Because right now everyone's sagging off him. And so you've got to find some creative ways to get things going. The team as a whole has taken way too many late shot clock prayers and 24-second violations because they're running a bunch of motion with no shooters who are threats. That, to me, is very simple. And I think that the staff is sophisticated enough to know that. And so I'm hoping we'll see some wrinkles.
But I also think even if the Warriors say, JK, this is what we need you to do, this is how you're going to help this team, occupy the dunker spot, get out in transition, run the floor, play good defense, I think there's a pretty big part of Kuminga, and I cannot blame him for it, who wants more than that and is maybe a little hesitant to accept that.
We don't know what he wants. Do you know what he wants?
He wants a big money contract this offseason.
But that doesn't mean that he wants the ball in his hands at every single possession. And I mean, like, everyone wants to get paid. I don't fault him for that.
I don't fault him either. It's the natural way to feel.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is the role that Steve Kerr... Well, let's listen to it again. Here's okay. Steve Kerr on GP2's injury, okay. And he brings up Kuminga almost immediately.
It opens up an opportunity for JK to be that defensive stopper, the guy who, you know, we've relied on Gary to be. JK's the obvious guy. Put him on the best offensive player. You know, pick up full, like harass people like Gary does. I'm going to ask JK to do that, and it definitely opens up more minutes for him if he's effective with that. And then again, it's mix and match game to game, depending on who's playing well and how we're playing.
I don't see anything egregious with that. That's actually, I think, brilliant. That's exactly how they should be attacking it. And if Jonathan Kuminga can grow into that role and really lean into it, the money will all sort itself out. Winning trumps everything.
It's easy to say that. I don't know how JK feels, you're okay. Right. But if I put myself in JK's shoes and I see my head coach with 10 games left in the regular season and I'm trying to get a big contract this summer, and I see my coach say, or he's probably telling me the same thing behind closed doors, you're the new GP2. GP2 is a role player. Yeah. Who has bounced around the NBA his entire career, was nothing at this level until he joined the Warriors.
But on this,
I'm Jonathan Kuminga, seventh overall pick, and trying to make $30 million a year.
Well, his money is irrelevant to me because
I think it's his motivation.
Well, okay, I hear you, but like obsessing about the money that you're going to make is going to cripple you and turn you into Klay Thompson.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but
he needs to wipe that away. And like if you accept this role, all of the money and the playing time and all those things are coming your way. Andre Iguodala is the greatest example of someone accepting a lesser than role for the greater of the good of the team and has reaped all the benefits of it, right? This team's going into the luxury tax one way or the other. Jonathan has one of two choices. Accept his fate and just take it, and he'll be good to go. And if they win, he will reap the rewards of the adoration, the money, everything will come his way. Eventually, the time, the playing time, the scoring, all that stuff. If you just accept the role Everything will come your way because winning trumps all. And this ownership is not OKC 10 years ago where they're penny pinching. They're going into the luxury tax the next couple of years. And whether it's Pods or JK or GP2 or Kevon Looney, all of the ancillary pieces, the question is not, are you good? The question is, are you good enough to help us win a championship so you can be on this roster next year and the year after? It's not about JK's money. This is about the Golden State Warriors trying to win a championship this year, next year, and the year after. That's the only thing that I'm focused on. And if JK's feelings are hurt or whatever, well then, like, honestly, he needs to understand that he needs to be a professional. And it did in Clay's season, and it could do in his season. And that's the cautionary tale.
No, you're right. Everything you're saying is right. It's only about what's helping this Warrior team win. It's why Kuminga hasn't been playing a ton of late. He didn't play in the second half really at all in Atlanta, even though he had a great second quarter offensively, because all he was doing on the other half of the floor was losing his guy over and over and over again. And that's why we're talking so much about what Kuminga is being asked to do offensively. I have very little confidence that Kuminga can be the lockdown point of attack defender that Steve Kerr is asking him to be on defense. GP2 is one of the best defenders in the NBA at what the Warriors are asking him to do. I haven't seen that on the consistent level from Kuminga. And I know you don't want to talk about the money, and I know it's not about the money. My only point is, I think for Kuminga it is, and the Warriors are asking him to be GP2. GP2 makes $9 million a year.
Yeah, I mean,
Kuminga wants a whole hell of a lot more than that.
Well,
so he might feel like the pressure is, I need to prove more than that. I'm capable of doing more than that. I am going to try to do more than that.
You can't do that when you're playing sports. You just got to make the next play. You just got to do what's in front of you. If you're thinking that long term ahead, like, you're mentally screwed. Like, I get what everyone's doing, but, like, you go out there, you're playing ball, right? You can't obsess about how much money and this and that. If you just make winning plays consistently, all those things come their way and they settle themselves out. Like, I get everyone obsessing about $30 million a year. Go around the league. Who's giving him $30 million a year? There aren't a lot of teams that have that wiggle room.
Nope.
Okay? So all of this to me is wasted exercise. I understand why we do it, believe me. And I understand he might feel that way. Caldwell Anthony Pope thought he was getting $35 million a year. Malik Monk thought he was getting $35 million a year. Both those guys took lesser than both of them. And Klay Thompson thought he was getting more than the $24 million a year that the Warriors offered him on the front end. He ended up signing for a fraction of that. The reality is that you need to just focus on the controllables. And what JK can control right now is his energy, his effort, and his focus on the floor. If he does those things, everything's going to...
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Fall in place.
I hear you. I got my concerns about it, but I think there's also a half of this that is what the Warriors asking him to do, what they've asked him to do this whole season. Is it even fair to Kuminga? We can get into that on the other side.
Well, that's
as well.
A whole nother question.
And we can dive into that. Plus, we got Joe and Burbank on the line. We'll get to you when we come back, Joe. Plus, Bonte Hill, pre and post Warriors host on NBC Sports Bay Area, joins us live in studio for the whole 9 o'clock hour in half an hour. All that is what's coming up on the game, brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport. It's Shasky Grandy with you in for Spadoni on the Morning Roast on a Friday on 95.7 The Game. Been a lot of fun with you so far today.
Can you get me Young Jeezy My Hood at some point before Bonte comes in? Because that one, whenever I hear that on my playlist and it comes up, for whatever reason, you want to talk about pep in the step? You're like, you know, the Giants won yesterday. I got a little pep in my step. I'm feeling good. The pep in my step when I hear My Hood, it's just dun, 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 that and Trap Star. I'm a T-R-A-P-S-T. Come on.
Jeezy doesn't get his flowers, man.
He is just, it was a moment in time. Everyone's like, Ricky Rose. I'm like, dude, I'll go Jeezy all day over Ricky Rose. It's not even close.
You really are a crazy person, Shasky.
Why do you say that?
I'm just thinking back to this morning when I walked down to let you in.
Uh-huh.
Before I even get to the doors, before I even open the doors, I hear someone screaming on the street, on Kearney, and I'm wondering, oh, God, who is outside right now?
That's like, me.
And you never know what you're going to run into in downtown San Francisco. And I open the door, and it's just you with your AirPods in,
yeah,
screaming at the top of your lungs. Oh, it's just Shasky. Okay, this checks out.
Look, there's only one way to live life, to the absolute fullest.
I respect it.
You know, it's to the absolute fullest. And that's, I mean, I'm like, you know, what do they say? All gas, no brakes?
Yeah, that's what you are.
Well, that's the way I live life. Like, I was telling you, you and I were talking off air, and I said to you, I said, hey, look, and I'm dead serious when I say this. I go, there might be more talented people in whatever industry, right, out there. No one is going to outwork me. That is my promise to myself in anything in life. And hard work does pay off. I truly believe that. And like, if you are limited in terms of ability or whatever it is, you can outwork 99% of people by just showing up every single day and caring more and trying harder. That literally, it's the baseline. And so anybody who's a try hard guy in any walk of life, I root for them hard. You know, Peyton Pritchard, you know what I mean? Guys
hey,
like that.
Hey, go Ducks.
You know what I mean? Guys like that, you know, the short little white guys. I root for those guys.
I mean, there's a little bit of Steph Curry in what you're talking about.
1,000%. There's been so many more talented players than him.
Yeah.
In terms of raw ability. He squeezed every ounce out of his body. Why is Kobe so beloved? Six seven.
Incredibly talented, but also the hardest worker ever.
Did you doubt that he didn't squeeze every drop out of his body?
No doubt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love Shaq, but there's a part of him that's like, Shaq, you did leave it a little on the table. Just a little. Even though you had a tremendous career. You know, Jerry Rice, why is he the GOAT? Because he literally squeezed every drop out of his body. And so that brings me to Jonathan Kuminga, right? And I'm thinking about Jonathan Kuminga here. And there's a lot that goes into the Jonathan Kuminga conversation. He's extremely polarizing. I said to you guys before the show, Jimmy G, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, there are certain names that just light up the lines. Jonathan Kuminga. And I'll just say this, like, look, we throw the word star and superstar and potential and ceiling and all these buzzwords, we throw them around all the way. He's an extremely important player for what they want to do right now, which is win games. He's athletic. He's big. He's strong. He finishes around the rim. He gets up and down the floor. He brings things to the table this team needs. I don't care about how much money he wants or the role he's looking for or any of those things. Because to me, if he just continues to do what he's done, which is at every turn, his role has evolved, and I feel like with a little learning, he kind of grows into the role, and eventually you look up and you're like, wow, JK's playing really good ball on whatever that role is. It takes a little longer for him. He doesn't just seamlessly fit into those roles. But I do believe that like every time we've asked JK to step to the plate, he has. And I get where everyone's like, but he thinks he wants more. He hasn't said anything. Now, has he been frustrated that he hasn't played? Sure. Does he probably regret going to the media during the playoff series against the Kings? Absolutely. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he absolutely does. But show me someone who doesn't have a few things on their resume that they want back. That doesn't make JK a bad person. That doesn't make him a bad teammate. That doesn't make him a bad basketball player. Do I get frustrated watching him? Sure. Do I think that, you know, sometimes he leaves a little to be desired? Absolutely. It's because I think really highly of him. And I want him to be successful and I want him to be good. Are there times that I don't think that the coach puts him in a position to succeed? Yeah, there are. Do I think Kerr's an all-timer? Absolutely. Like, all of these things are slices in the pie chart of culpability, as I call it, when you look at a player's profile. And I'm telling you guys right now, JK will amend to what they're looking for, and he's going to acquiesce because he has to. And I think we're going to be surprised. I don't know why we keep selling this guy short when at every turn he's surprised us and he stepped up into the role that he's been asked to do, and it has looked clunky at times. But you look up and you're like, damn, where would we be without Kuminga? Think about the couple months that Wiggins missed a couple years back. Kuminga got them to the spot that they needed to be in to even qualify for the playoffs. Kuminga did that. Earlier this year, before he went down with the injury, they were searching for a number two scorer. He took over a couple of fourth quarters, and it felt like he was turning the corner. Well, he got hurt. He lost confidence, obviously health and all that. 2 months later, the team is completely different, and now we're asking him to do something different again, and then questioning whether he's going to even accept that role, and will he be happy financially, and we're asking and loading all of this stuff on top of him when he hasn't said anything. I find JK to be an empathetic figure and someone I root for, and I feel like he's unfairly criticized at every single turn and dissected, and I just don't get it.
I hear you. Here's the latest what Steve Kerr said. You're talking about the new role that the Warriors are asking of JK. Here's Kerr on GP2's injury and what that means for Kuminga.
It opens up an opportunity for JK to be that defensive stopper, the guy who, you know, we've relied on Gary to be. JK's the obvious guy. Put him on the best offensive player. You know, pick up full, like harass people like Gary does. I'm going to ask JK to do that. And it definitely opens up more minutes for him if he's effective with that. And then again, it's mix and match game to game depending on who's playing well and how we're playing.
Interesting from Steve Kerr. I want to ask you this. I'm going to go to Joe in Burbank, but I'm going to throw the question out for all the listeners and for you to respond to in a second, Shasky. The Warriors, their ask of Kuminga has like shifted 5 or 6 different times this year.
It's really hard. Yes.
Has that been fair to Kuminga? We can get into that. 888-957-9570.
No, but I would also say that's the life of a professional athlete at times. Not everyone is born into wealth. I'm talking real life. Not everyone is born into a stable environment. Not everyone is born into having siblings or whatever the resources are. And sometimes your life evolves and you have to pivot and not panic. That's kind of a butcherism, if you will. All right. I always say, you know, pivot, don't panic. And like, this is the life that he chose to be a basketball player. And I don't think we're asking some crazy thing. Dog, go out there and be the JK we think you can be. We think you can be like Wiggins and take on top dog assignments and just grind things out. And then at times we're going to ask you to score a little here and there. But the problem that I have, Mark, is that for some segment of Warrior fans, it'll never be enough. It'll never be enough. And we're always going to nitpick everything that he does. And the part that bugs me is that every possession should not be a referendum on if you're good at basketball or not. And sadly, it feels like that's what's happened to him. And we did this to Jordan Poole. We did this to Klay Thompson. And we've done this over and over and over again. And at some point, I'm like, guys, like, can we just let him play a little and just let it breathe? No, we can't. We have to scrutinize everything. And I find it to be in a no-win situation for the young man. I really do.
It's not fair to him, but it's also the reality of the Warriors' situation.
Sure.
Like, if he plays well, he's going to play more minutes. Steve Kerr said it in that soundbite.
But the same can be said for Pods.
No.
Quinn Post, Moses Moody, Kevon Looney, Buddy Hield. Like, why? It's always, and I'm not saying you, but I'm saying it's always about JK. And I'm sitting here going, guys, literally every guy on the roster, Pods, Moody, Quinn Post, Buddy Hield, like, pick whoever you want. all of these guys, your role is going to change a little. We're going to ask you to do different things based on the lineup that's out there, based on the opponent that we're playing, and you're going to have to earn it. That should be it for everyone, right?
Yes.
Why is that exclusive to J? It feels like the way we talk about it as a fan base, it's only about JK. And I'm like, nah, that's literally every guy on the roster.
It is every guy on the roster.
Not named Jimmy, Dre, and Steph.
I think someone like Pajemski has shown more consistency that he's a factor to winning basketball games than Kuminga has.
I would argue to you that I do believe that Pajemski's been allowed. I mean, just look at last year, his rookie year. He played close to 2,000 minutes. That's the career high for Jonathan Kuminga.
Because with Wiggins for the vast majority of those minutes, he was helping you win basketball games.
But he's allowed to play through mistakes, right? So there's levels to this, right? Like, when you're allowed to play through mistakes and play in the fourth quarter or play in the third quarter, you can overcome some of the mistakes that you had in the second quarter.
I don't
think that JK has been afforded the amount of leeway that Pajemski has. They play different positions. There were different people stymieing Jonathan Kuminga in terms of playing time who were playing better or were more beloved by the coach. There hasn't been another backup point guard, right? But when Pajemski's been here, I mean, for crying out loud, Kerr subbed him into a play-in game, a do-or-die game, before Chris Paul, who you traded Jordan Poole for. Come on. No one questioned that. And I was like, nah, we should have went to CP. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you got CP3 to win you play-in games with his guile, and you literally had the opportunity to go to him, and you went to Pods before him. Like, no, I had a problem with that, and we never talk about it. He would have never done that with JK. So, yeah, I do think they're treated completely different. And that's okay. Coaches have favorites. But let's not act like it's all been equal. It hasn't. It just hasn't.
Well, you earned the opportunity, and you earned the right. Pajemski more consistently over the course of his shorter career has impacted winning basketball games far more often than Kuminga has. It's the reality of it. Now, what I will say is since he's returned from his injury, mm-hmm. the last however many, like seven games, however many it's been, he hasn't been afforded the ability to play through things. Because the Warriors now have something that's worth losing.
Okay.
Before Kuminga got hurt, you mentioned it, he was their second scoring mm-hmm. option. Kuminga had to score 25 for them to have a shot to win basketball games.
Which is a lot to ask.
He would score 25 and they would still lose. That's how dire it was then.
Yeah, but that's not an indictment on if he's good.
It's not. I'm not saying
okay.
that. I'm just saying the Warriors had no one else to turn to. They didn't have anything to lose.
Okay.
They were losing basketball games anyway. Kuminga, you're our only hope. We're playing you 30 minutes a night. You're getting us 25. That's the only way we have a path to victory. Steph scores 30. You score 25. We hope that we can win. That's the only path. Then he gets hurt, and obviously he can't play. That's all flushed away. Then Jimmy comes in while he's hurt,
well,
and they win all
the
these
dynamic,
games.
Yeah.
And now they're in the sixth seed, and they're trying to protect the sixth seed. And then you bring Kuminga back off of 2 months off of rush, and this is not against Kuminga. It's just the reality of the situation. You bring Kuminga back uh-huh. into that situation, rusty, off 2 months off.
Sure.
And you are holding on for dear life to the sixth seed. You cannot let anyone, doesn't matter who it is, it just happened to be Kuminga coming off of an injury, you cannot let anybody play through issues that are costing you
okay,
points,
well,
possessions, and games
all
as
right,
a result.
Miami game. You thought Pods was good?
Not great in the first half, no.
Horrible! Had Kuminga played the first half Pods did, he wouldn't have seen the floor in the second half. What did they do? Like, they trotted Pods back out there. So like,
I mean, he responded. He was much better in the second half.
Sure. He also missed 1,000 shots. Like, he missed a million things. I mean, he was awful. I thought he was awful. He over dribbles all the time. We're acting like Kuminga's never been a part of a winner. The year they lost to the Lakers, when Wiggins was out for months, Jonathan Kuminga was awesome. He wasn't good. He was awesome. And we just, the minute Wiggs comes back, just sit on the bench and don't say boo-hoo. Like, that's not fair either. And then he gets no credit for that. So I think it goes both ways. I'm not here to say that JK is, you know, the victim. Because no one's a victim. This is the life of a professional athlete. But this thing that Pods is some winner guy and JK's not. It's like, we're watching different sports. Pods has a lot of really nice things. I like Pods. But I also really like JK. And I don't view either of them as giant difference makers on whether this team right now is going to win games and get into the playoffs or not. It's going to come down to Steph, Jimmy, and Dre. These guys will supplement that and they will help that. But like, no, I don't think Pods is this big recipe to winning. No, I don't. I don't think he's his key ingredient. He's been really good. I like him. He's been really good. The coach likes him probably more than I do. I think he's a backup point guard. That's all. And I think you could be a really productive, good player as a backup point guard. But those are two different ways that we view things. And that's fine. We don't have to agree on this.
I mean, what you're saying is fair, and there's no doubt. Kuminga, it's the age-old question of would you rather be in a situation like the Warriors if you're Kuminga and have a chance to play in high-intensity environments, and he has a ring, or would you rather be someone like Jalen Green on the Rockets who played a ton from the jump and has a contract to show for it already? Like, there's pluses and minuses to both. But let's go out to the phone lines. We got a lot of calls. 888-957-9570. Joe is in Burbank, and wants to talk about JK. What's up, Joe?
Hey, good morning, Joe. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
For sure. What's up?
A JK comment, a Guy Santos comment, maybe a Post comment. With JK, I'm sorry that Gary Payton went down, but I'm kind of glad for JK that he's going to get more playing time. When he's played on a regular basis, he can be a good and sometimes very good on-ball defender, so I'm excited about to seeing what he can do.
I am
so
too.
That's going to be really good. Also, with Gary Payton down, besides JK, I hope we see more of Guy Santos because the guy's got a lot of heart, hustle, and he plays good defense. So I hope we see more of him. And then on Quentin Post, he's so interesting. Sometimes you watch a game with him, and it just may be that particular game he hit maybe 3 of 6 threes or 2 of 4, whatever. But when you watch him, he spends a lot of time, and he does it because he's supposed to do it. But he runs around a lot and sets a lot of screens. He moves around a lot. And he moves, by the way, he moves pretty good for it. Everyone's talking about how slow he is. He moves pretty good for a big guy, so I'm excited about him. But I would like to see him get some more shots, and I don't know how they're going to do that. But if he did, I know he needs to, from the motion offense, he needs to set screens and do a lot of things. But he needs to be able to get some more shots.
I think the coach obviously. Yeah, I'm going to cut you off, and I apologize. I think the coach needs to stay committed to playing him through the mistakes. So he's a great example of a guy, right? Quinn Post, and I've seen Kerr do this. Oh, he got cooked a couple times on defense. Got to yank him. Not going to go back to him. It's like, well, yeah, he's a one-way player right now. He's an offensive threat. But right now, your problem, I think, is primarily on the offensive end, especially with Steph Curry out. You have no shot makers.
I agree.
You have no one that can space the floor. You have to take the bad with the good, right? Podziemski, and this brings me back to him, is a horrible defender, but he gets a couple of charges here and there, and so we get blinded by the fact that he literally breaks down your half-court defense every time. He comes flying out at people, they go right by him, and now my entire five-man unit is in scramble mode, playing help defense the rest of a half-court possession. No one quantifies that. No one brings that up. But when Quinn Post gets dunked on around the lane and gets an and-one, it's pretty obvious. But see, to me, in my keen eye, I'm sitting here, I'm going like, well, wait a minute, like, top of the key defense, this is where Podziemski really, really, really struggles. But yet every night, 25 to 35 minutes, whereas someone like Quinn Post or JK, whatever, they're getting yo-yoed. They just are. And so the guys are treated differently. They just are. And that's okay. Like, every coach does this. Kyle Shanahan has particulars, you know? Bruce Bochy had guys that he liked. He loved his veterans. He loved his guys. But to say that they're all treated equal, I push back on it. They're not. Pods is a guy that Kerr really, really likes. And that's okay. He likes him. He likes him more than my liking.
Ponte Hill, Warriors pre- and post-game host on NBC Sports Bay Area, about 7 minutes away here on the Morning Roast. It's Joe Shasky, Mark Grandy with you. I'm in for Joe Spadoni today. Let's go back out to the phones. 888-957-9570. Al is in San Francisco. Al, how you doing? Happy Friday.
Hey, thank you, guys. Yeah, I totally agree, about the JK situation. Kerr is not being fair. It's not giving JK minutes. I think maybe he didn't like JK from the beginning. Some words might have been transpired in a locker room after the season that Kerr heard about JK talking about him, but it's not fair. Out of JK and Pot, I would take JK over Pot any day. JK got his help into the playoffs, and he's been playing well. And if you give him the 25 minutes a game, I'm sure he'll be dominant, but you got to give the kid a chance. Just because you like another player, but this player is better, so you're going to favor another player. That's what it is. Kerr's favoring Pot over JK and not giving the other guys a chance. That's all I have to say. Kerr should give JK more minutes and let him take the role. of a threat in the middle, you know, going driving through the lane.
Yeah. That's a good point. I will defend them. This year, they really don't have a backup point guard.
You don't have any other option.
You have Pat Spencer. So, and with Curry out, it's you know, the situation's even more dire. At least prior to the trade of Jimmy Butler, for Jimmy Butler, you had Wiggins in front of him. You had GP2 in front of him. Moody at times could take minutes. Draymond at the four. Like, there were a variety of guys that have been on this roster. You could make the argument depth was a big deterrent from JK not getting minutes. But I'm not here to sit here and like, he's a victim. You know, they're doing him dirty. No, they're not. He also needs to take culpability of his own career and, you know, earn these minutes. And you earn them, and this is why I think Pods is very endearing to a lot of people, you earn them with the hustle plays. Gui Santos is a fan favorite because he earns you second possessions with the hustle plays. He's got flaws too, you know? Like, but a lot of people really...
a lot of them.
Yeah, but a lot of people really like Gui.
The only way he gets on the floor is if he makes the hustle plays. Because
exactly.
He doesn't do a lot of the other things that come naturally to someone like Kuminga. He can't possibly do that.
Exactly. And so that's where I would say, like, I think it's been really difficult for Jonathan Kuminga to endear himself, not just to the coach, but to the fans. Is he doesn't do a lot of the second bounce, tip-ups, things like that. And when he misses a shot or he gets stripped in the lane and he turns and he complains, thinking that he should get a foul call, I think it turns people irate, right? And they're immediately out on him. He's a very polarizing player. Here's what I would say about both guys. They're going to need them both. Look, the irony is they're going to need Pods and they're going to need JK.
And they don't block each other. They play different positions.
No, but I understand those that are frustrated seeing how you've handled one player and say it's completely different for that player. I do understand people being agitated by that.
I hear it. 888-957-9570. Rolando is in Napa, wants to make a JK comparison.
What's up, Rolando?
How you doing?
Hey, doing good. How are you guys? I love listening to you guys. And Shassy said it best when he said that, you know, people critiquing to criticize Jonathan Kuminga. And I want to compare Jonathan Kuminga because the same thing as I hear about Jonathan Kuminga is the same thing I've been hearing about Brock Purdy. I think they're people critiquing. He's not good. They should trade him. Why do we have him? And I think both guys want to compare because people who are talking about Jonathan Kuminga are the same people who are calling Brock Purdy. You know, and defense, I'm a huge Brock Purdy fan. And I don't know if you guys talked about it, but he did a podcast a couple of days ago. And I recommend everybody listen to that podcast because I'm a much more bigger fan of Brock Purdy. And he's more humble and respected. And this is our quarterback. And I do believe that this guy is a winner and he will take us there.
To be fair, Brock has accomplished more as a more forefront player for his team than JK has in his career.
Not even close.
The circumstances are just so different. They're so different. You know, one's the quarterback taking every snap. The other is, you know, a basketball player where guys can come in and out. And it's Steph Curry's team, as I do that in air quotes. Like, they're just... That comparison didn't necessarily hold water for me. I appreciate you calling in, though.
I guess I kind of see where he's coming from, but yeah, I'm with you. It's... And it, being the quarterback of a football team and a successful one at that versus being the guy coming off of the bench on a basketball team, it's way, way different.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. Look, it's just the JK thing, just it aggravates me. It really does. It's like I feel like when I'm watching the game and I see the reactions online and I hear the reactions from my friends and every possession for JK on both ends of the floor is a referendum on if he's good or not.
Gear up. It's going to happen tonight.
Yeah, but it's not fair. That's just not how you do bad. If that's the case, do you know who the all-time leading turnover guy is in the history of the Golden State Warriors?
It's Steph Curry.
Yeah. He's horrific with some of these turnovers, but he does a lot of things that offset that. You know, and I'm not saying JK.
But it's also because he's played the most games and played the most minutes.
Like, and his assist to turnover ratio is putrid for a guy that holds the ball as much as he does. It's okay to call it out. It's not a strength of his. Like,
I mean, do you know who leads the NBA in turnovers over the last decade? It's like LeBron, Russ, and James Harden. Like, those are the top
three. And I would say that Russ is not a guy that has a great assist to turnover ratio, right? Like, really great assist to turnover ratios are 3, 3.5 to 1. Like, that's what
my
it is.
My general point is you have the ball in your hands a ton, you're a superstar, you're going to turn the ball over a lot.
In that, I agree.
That's just how it works.
But if we were assessing as a scout and you were saying, Steph Curry's game, Careless turnovers is a big weakness, okay? Defense is a weakness, right? All these players have strengths and weaknesses, but that doesn't make them completely trash and the greatest to ever live. And I feel like when we're discussing Jonathan Kuminga, it's one end of the street or the other end of the street, and there's no happy medium. The reality is, he's a good player. They're going to need him a lot. You know, they're going to need him a lot. And saying he sucks, that's not accurate. And also saying he's a superstar, that's not accurate either. It's somewhere in the middle. And they need the best version of him right now to embrace the role that they're requiring of him, which is to play defense, bang on the boards, box out, play smart, and put pressure on the rim. Keep it as simple as possible. And they need that.
And by the way, what the Warriors are asking him to do, what you just laid out and what Steve Kerr said, essentially now be the GP2, because he's down with, if you missed it, a ligament tear in his left thumb. And out indefinitely, might not play the rest of the regular season. We'll see. Be reevaluated in a week.
It's a big injury.
Big injury.
The Warriors, was playing great.
He was 50% from deep, like over the last couple of weeks. Yeah. The Warriors are asking him essentially to fill that role. I want to make.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.